You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the final installment for 2018 of Joy Heath Rush's Interim CEO Column podcast. The article corresponding to this podcast appears in the winter 2018 issue of Peer to Peer. On behalf of ILTA, my name is Beth Ann Stuebe, and I am excited to speak with Joy and our ILTA family again. Welcome, Joy.
Hey, thanks, Beth Ann, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. Your new column talks a lot about volunteerism and the greater ILTA family. Can you tell us a bit more about how you see volunteerism evolving in the next few years for ILTA?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's been interesting for me, having been a former volunteer and then on the business partner side for a while, the volunteer structure's changed a lot since, quote unquote, my day, right? Since I walked to school both 5 miles in the snow and all that good stuff. There are many, many more volunteer roles, which I think is great for the organization, that require a wide range of skills. So what I like about this is it makes volunteerism more inclusive. And I think one of the things that resulted certainly from the financial crisis and many firms downsized and law departments downsized, all of our member organizations downsized, and people had to do more with less, there were fewer staff, it really wasn't reasonable to expect the quote-unquote average volunteer to be giving 10, 15, 20 hours a week. It was a huge commitment of time for some of the volunteer roles. And the change in the volunteer structure, I think, was a real recognition that people are super busy in their day jobs. I mean, in the early days of volunteerism at ILTA, which was then LawNet, and we had individual volunteers writing out postcards to invite people to local meetings and putting stamps on them. And, you know, technology certainly changed some of that, but the point is it's a different kind of role. It's not an administrative get people to meetings role. It's really content focused. So I see it being increasingly content focused and perhaps even more distributed in terms of the kinds of volunteer roles that we have, so that people who literally have 1 or 2 hours a week to give can still give because they want to and they can be successful in their volunteer role.
How would you suggest a new ILTA member dip their proverbial toe into the ILTA volunteer waters?
Oh, that's a great question. I always think that, again, developing content is the thing that's easy for everybody. And I won't say easy. Developing content is never easy, but we have a lot of expertise in our organization. So doing something as simple as a podcast like this, answering questions. Most people feel comfortable being interviewed. They may not feel comfortable writing an article, but usually they're happy to answer questions. They're used to answering questions from lawyers. I guess that happens all day long, every day, in a great way. So participating in a podcast, making a posting on an e-group in response to a question from a colleague. One of the easiest ways to get involved is to host a local meeting. So when your member liaison sends out a note that says, we need somebody to host a roadshow on cybersecurity, put your hand up and say, we can do that. You can work with the staff person to handle most of the administrative heavy lifting, and then the volunteer is there greeting other volunteers, meeting local volunteers, and getting more engaged in the community, the local networking community.
Let's talk a little bit more about content. How do you digest content most regularly?
Well, I am kind of a read the headline and then read more if I'm interested in the headline kind of person. So actually, the current ways that many content aggregators put together their content works well for me. So I have about 6 or 7 daily type feeds that I regularly consume. And they're across the general technology spectrum to the specifically the legal technology spectrum, but the ones that frankly interest me the most are the ones about the business of law. So I like to read about that. I like to read about the transformation in the practice, how law firms are run as businesses, some of the challenges to those businesses, the ways the operations are changing, because all of that affects our members and how our members do their jobs.
What type of content do you think appeals most to our readers? Do you think they listen to more podcasts, read more articles, blogs, or we have a healthy webinar series? Do you think they're involved in those?
Yeah, in fact, I've been very interested as I've looked at some of the data around our various content offerings just purely from ILTA. We see some webinars that are incredibly well attended. Very seldom do we have a webinar that's poorly attended. In some cases, we've had 100, 200, 300 people on a webinar. At the same time, we've gotten great click-throughs on some of our podcasts. I hear regularly feedback about our publications. The fall peer-to-peer kind of got rave reviews. The link to the digital content, the additional digital content was very popular. And while podcasts are something that I'm getting more adjusted to, it's not been a regular part of my content diet until the last probably 2 years. It's one of the things I hear a lot about from our members, so because they're driving, they're commuting, they're at the gym, they're at the kids' swim practice, and they're trying to do things to, as our friend Mr. Covey used to say, sharpen the saw in a way that's very easy for them. And that's an easy way for people to consume content without having to read, and they can be on the move when they're doing it. That makes it really attractive to me.
Yes, I think we'll start a new ILTA podcast series. Listen to this on the elliptical.
There we go.
When you're at home, what are you reading and why are you reading it?
I tend to go back and forth between fiction and nonfiction because I love both. I'm particularly fond of biography or anything that's a true story, especially if people that have overcome some kind of really serious challenge. I'm a great fan of Stephen Ambrose, now deceased, unfortunately, who's a brilliant historian, who wrote the book on which the miniseries Band of Brothers was based, and it's absolutely one of my favorites. He writes or wrote history that reads like fiction. His account of the Lewis and Clark expedition, I could read 20 times and not get tired of it. Fantastic book about the completion of the Transcontinental Railway in the United States. So I love to read stuff like that. And when I read fiction, as I said, I'll read like two or three fiction books, and then I need to take a break and read a little nonfiction and go back to fiction. I am fond of mysteries. I'm fond of actually young adult fiction. I know that probably sounds weird, but I think some of the greatest creativity that we've seen in the past 10 years has been in young adult fiction. The Divergent series, the Maze Runner series, the Asylum series, the Miss Peregrine books, they're terrific. And they're just imaginative. They break boundaries. And they're a little gentler in terms of violence and language a lot of times than some of the other books. I just love them. I'm not ashamed to say it. Love young adult fiction.
That's a really diverse reading list. Your CEO column also talks heavily about diversity. And as a staff member, I see our diversity as an ILTA core strength. How do you see diversity changing what we're reading and in technology?
Boy, those are great questions. In terms of what we're reading, I think that in order to be responsible citizens of ILTA land and responsible citizens of our organizations, we need to be reading about how to promote diversity within our organizations. And there are some super positive things we've seen in the profession. You know, there's a better than 50% enrollment of women, for example, at most law firms. But the piece that we're still struggling with is why women then don't advance to being managing partners and executive directors. We don't have, you know, certainly as many female CIOs as I think we wish we did. And there's generational change we have to deal with. And we make a lot of assumptions about generations and how they interact in the workplace. I think it's largely anecdotal. I don't think it's particularly data-driven. I think it's important for us to do reading in the sociology and psychology area about really how multiple generations interact in the workplace, what their communication styles are, how they can help each other. And one of the hidden pieces of this is that baby boomers are starting to retire. I mean, a lot of them delayed their retirement due to the financial crisis in 2008 and 2009. With a better economy, they're starting to leave the workforce. And that's really going to change the dynamic, the generational dynamic inside. First of all, it takes a lot of institutional knowledge. With baby boomers having worked longer than they planned, they have even more institutional knowledge that they retained, and now it's going to walk out the door with them. And when you think about trends of the younger generations tending not to stay in jobs as long as their predecessors, it means that there's even more churn in institutional memory. So thinking about how to protect your organizations against generational churn, to me, becomes a very important issue in terms of the kinds of content you should be consuming, because that has real day-to-day operational impact on your organizations.
I think as we round out this podcast, it talks a bit about diversity and inclusion, but I kind of want to know, as our members do, a little bit more about you as the CEO. So here's a couple of fun questions I hope for you.
Okay.
If you hadn't gotten this job, how would you be involved with ILTA?
Probably in the way that I was before. I was on the business partner side. I loved being involved with ILTA on that side. Actually, it was a terrific perspective for me. But I would be looking for ways for business partners to be more engaged in the overall content delivery for ILTA. And actually, we're seeing some positive changes there. You know, a lot of the thought leadership, especially in deeply, deeply technical areas, is coming out of the business partner community because that's their job. I mean, they you know, have to innovate for their businesses, and they're producing the products and delivering the services that our members consume. So I would be really advocating for more involvement of business partners in the content creation process and more volunteer-like engagement on the part of the business partners. And I would be continuing to advocate for that and trying to live and illustrate that if I were still in my old job.
If you were still in your old job, do you have any advice for your previous boss?
Oh, he's so great. Actually, I have to tell you, I learned a ton from him, Avanish Marwa, really terrific guy. I would be telling him certainly to keep being involved with ILTA. That sounds terribly self-serving, so I don't know if that's something that's appropriate to say. But the one piece of advice I would give him is to continue to invest in the development of people, not just the development of product. And that's something that that organization is really good at, actually. They really excel at. But as organizations grow, it's easy to leave that behind, when in fact, as organizations grow, it becomes even more important to invest in people and their development, and to understand that not everybody develops in the same way. As we've been discussing already on this podcast, not everybody consumes content in the same way, and not everybody has the same career goals. So this is advice I would give any of you out there who manage people. Don't assume you know the career path of the people that you're managing. And one of the things, again, as we read about generational diversity in particular, there's a lot of interest in some of the younger generations in things like access to justice. And they want fairness in the workplace. They want involvement in greater good types of activities in the workplace. And they may not all be aspiring to be the CEO of the organization. They may want to be the very best technical person they can be, or the very best writer they can be, or the very best trainer they can be. You know, you can't assume everybody has a kind of management view of their career. So for everybody out there, thinking about and talking to your team and listening to what it is they really want to do, where they want to be involved, is going to help you face all the changes that are coming in the workplace in the next 3 to 5 years.
I was going to ask you, if you won the lottery, what you would do, but I think I know.
Well, I want to hear your answer, and then I'll tell you if you're right.
I feel like you would continue to volunteer and mentor as much as you could and give back in the innumerable ways that you do. But I also think you would try to figure out if you could build a transporter.
Well, you know, that's been on my list for a long time, actually, because it would make life so much easier. Or if not a transporter, at least a Stargate. You know, that technology might be a little bit more similar. I mean, a little bit easier to accomplish. I don't know. We'll have to see the physics of it. But yes, I absolutely would. And actually, if I won the lottery, I think I'd probably keep doing what I'm doing, at least for a long time, as long as I could, because I really, really love it. But also being able to be more involved in some of the charitable activities that are important to me. Very interested in supporting the local community, particularly the elderly and children who are underserved. You know, there's poverty everywhere. We just tend not to see it. And the ability to address that, I think, is really important. I'm very passionate about autism awareness for personal reasons, and would love to be able to do more also to advance that cause. And so whenever I talk about retiring, and one of my team recently said, oh, in 20 years when you retire, and I'm like, oh my gosh, 20 years, that's a long time. But my husband always says, I can't see you ever retiring. No, that's not who you are. You're a busy person. And I said, yeah, but it's working at different things for different reasons. And so retirement looks more like volunteerism.
Do you have any closing thoughts for 2018 and the greater ILTA family?
Well, I have been privileged beyond what I can say to be involved with the ILTA family since 1996. For those of you who like baseball, I said I feel like now I've hit for the cycle. So I was a member, I was a volunteer leader, I've been a business partner, now I'm on the staff. So I think I've checked all those boxes. And looking into 2019, I'm really excited about being able to take all that experience, work with the unbelievable staff that we have and the incredibly passionate volunteers and business partners. I mean, again, it's people with a volunteer spirit across our whole organization to take that volunteer spirit from staff, from business partners, from members, and do even greater things. I mean, ILTA is an amazing organization, and believe it or not, there's still room to get better. And that's what we're going to try very hard to do. It's going to take the partnership from all of us, but I would just like to thank everybody who's listening to this, whatever kind of citizen of ILTA land you are, whether a member, a staff member, a business partner, a member of the press, you're all citizens of ILTA land. I thank you for everything you've done to bring the organization to the place that it is, and wish you all a happy, healthy, prosperous new year.
Thank you, Joy, for joining us. Happy holidays, everyone, and we'll speak to you in 2019.
This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.